The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is a new resource for children ages 8 through 11. Luther's Small Catechism for Kids contains colorful icons and illustrations to help guide children through each tenet of the Christian faith. Learn more about Luther's Small Catechism for Kids at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. An easy-to-use resource for teaching the faith in a simple way, Luther's Small Catechism for Kids. The Ascension Hymn, Up Through Endless Ranks of Angels. What does it mean that Jesus has ascended and is seated at the right hand of the Father? It's all over Scripture that Jesus is there at the right hand of the Father. He has promised to return in the same way that he went. He went with blessings to his disciples. He returns in glory. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on the ascension of Jesus, according to Acts chapter 1. Pastor Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
The book of Acts tells us that Jesus continued to appear to his disciples for 40 days after his resurrection. Why did he do this?
That is found, actually, in Luke chapter 24. Where Jesus appears to his disciples after the resurrection. Now, they had heard about the resurrection, and Jesus stands among them and said, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And now we get to the verse why Jesus appeared to the disciples after the resurrection. Verse 45. "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem.'" The fact of the matter is, even with their knowledge that Jesus had risen from the dead, they still were somewhat clueless as to why he died and what about this resurrection. The best example is on the road to Emmaus, where Jesus is talking to two disciples. And that is also found in Luke chapter 24. And he begins to share with them the necessity of why the Son of Man, the Messiah, Jesus, had to die. And their hearts leapt within them, and they ran back and told the other disciples that they had seen the Lord. So there was some teaching that needed to be done so that the disciples would have a proper understanding of both the crucifixion and the resurrection in preparation for the ascension.
In Acts 1, verse 4, Jesus commands his disciples, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." What is Jesus talking about there?
Jesus is talking about what we refer to as Pentecost. Pentecost was that day after Jesus' resurrection, and the Holy Spirit came to the disciples, and they received two gifts. And this is according to Peter in Acts chapter 2, where he says, "You will receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That was a promise made even from the Old Testament. And therefore, they were now empowered by the Holy Spirit to not only be faithful witnesses to Jesus Christ, but also to be able to, receive retribution, persecution, and for many of them, even death, rather than fall away from the gospel of Jesus Christ.
The disciples expected Jesus to restore the kingdom of Israel. They even asked him about it before his ascension. What did they mean by that?
This is another example where the disciples and the people really didn't catch on to the work of Jesus. Let's take the feeding of the 5,000. Afterwards, Jesus left them to go up to a mountain to pray, but they were chasing after him, not because they believed he was the Son of God who had come to take away their sins, but because they believed that he would restore Israel to its former grandeur, get rid of the Romans, people would have enough to eat, they would have houses to sleep in, and, Israel would be restored as it once was. That, of course, was even an understanding of the disciples on the day of the ascension of Jesus into heaven. Because what they say, and this is Acts 1, verse 8, the disciples asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" They're still thinking secular, physical, not spiritual. He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And it is at that time, as they are looking at him, according to Acts chapter 1, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes, and those are angels, and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Now, I learned something from the Concordia Publishing House material that I have been unaware of. When I talk about Jesus returning, I always was thinking that he would just return by coming down in the clouds and taking his people to heaven. But the CPH material does a good job in showing there's kind of a difference between Luke writing in chapter 24 and his writing in Acts chapter 1. The first difference, when it talks about that Jesus will come in the same way, it seems the angels are talking merely about the way our Lord's reappearing would look. But when you read Luke, we see that Jesus went into heaven lifting up his hands and blessing them. So that would mean that when Jesus returns at his reappearing, he will come with eternal blessings for all who believe in him. And another difference is in Luke 24. It says he parted from them. While in Acts 1, it says a cloud took him out of their sight. Now, what's different about that? It's not that Jesus went into nothing, but his visible appearance departs. It's not so much that he leaves his disciples, but rather they can no longer see him with their eyes. And I think that's a really good distinction, taking both Luke and Acts to make those points.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus' ascension. What then does it mean that Jesus has ascended into heaven? We'll answer that question next.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
There are competing stories, competing futures, and so we have competing hopes.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller speaking at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
There are the hopes that the world offers, which are uncertain and which are limited to this life only and which offer no meaning in the midst of suffering. And then there is, on the other hand, a Christian hope which is sure and which has an extended horizon. It pushes past even your death and the grave, and it upholds us in the midst of suffering. There's a difference between the way the world hopes and the way the church hopes.
For a tax-deductible donation of $300, you could watch an on-demand video stream of this year's conference, including Pastor Wolfmiller's teaching, Making the Case for Christian Hope. Find out more at IssuesETC.org or make your $300 check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
In the last 14 years, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has experienced a 59% decrease in pre-seminary Concordia University enrollment and a 61% decrease in Lutheran teaching programs, and similar decreases across the board in church work vocations. To answer this challenge, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has begun the Church Worker Recruitment Initiative. To learn all about this, pick up your copy of the August issue of the Lutheran Witness, where Dr. Bonnick talks about this. To subscribe, visit cph.org/witness or visit our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus' ascension in Acts chapter 1. Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel is our guest. So, Tom, what does it mean then that Jesus ascended into heaven? What has actually changed here?
Jesus, in a state of humiliation, was not at the right hand of God. But when he was risen from the dead and he got in a state of exaltation, then he ascended to the right hand of God.
And there's something I want to say about that, because it's more than Jesus ascended to the right hand of God. And this is found in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. It says, God worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now, we use that word every now and then, like in boxing. If somebody leads with his right, he leads with his more powerful hand. And ambassadors in countries throughout the world are the right-hand man of the president of the United States. So speaking of his right hand simply means that he shares in that person's power and authority. But the point I want to make about whether or not Jesus has left us, it's almost the very opposite. And that's found in Ephesians 2, verses 4 and following. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. That means we received life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. By grace you have been saved. But listen to verse 6 of Ephesians 2. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, how's that possible if we're on earth? Because as a believer, we are a member of the Holy Christian Church. That is the body of Christ. Christ is the head, and we are parts of the body. And wherever the head is, there also are the parts of the body. So what we're talking about here is that we also, right now, in Christ, are at the right hand of God. And that means we don't have to pray through someone else, like Mary, etc., but we pray directly through Jesus, because he's at the right hand of God, and so also are we. So the ascension really is talking about that Jesus now is our triumphal prophet, priest, and king. And that is a really important point to get across to the Sunday school children, that they are with Jesus at the right hand of God, and therefore all his promises will continue to be true. That's the essence of the ascension.
What does the ascension show us about Jesus' divinity?
It shows us that he has to be God, because just as he stilled the storm on that Sea of Galilee, and they said, who has the power to still wind and wave? Well, that was found in the Old Testament when the Red Sea was stilled by God. That showed Jesus was God. So also, after his resurrection from the dead and his ascension into heaven, this shows that he is divine, because it says he went and stood at the right hand of God the Father. And remember, Jesus says, nobody has seen God the Father except one. And he was talking about himself. And so therefore, because of his divine nature, he is one with the Father. And that's why we believe in the Holy Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
What does it mean that Jesus is sitting on the throne, that he is ruling as we confess he is?
Yes, there's nothing that goes on in the Christian's life that God is not aware of. And he works out all things to our good. This is a very important understanding to give to the Sunday school children, because a lot of times it appears that God is absent. because he went up to heaven. No, he's not absent. He is with us at all times. And where do we find Jesus today? He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And that's talking about Christian worship. And particularly, we could have a lengthy conversation on how the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, that shows that Jesus is with us, because in the Lord's Supper, we're actually receiving his true body and his true blood.
Is there a connection between Jesus' ascension into heaven and his second coming?
The angel said he will return likewise. What is his second coming for the believer? It is that occasion when God will return in the person of Jesus Christ. He will be the judge of the entire world. And upon believers, he will again be blessing them as he blessed the disciples when he was taken away from them through the clouds. And what is that blessing? It is a blessing of his second coming, where we will now be with him eternally in what is called heaven. And that heaven is the third part of the kingdom of God. The first part being the church here on earth, the second part being the interim between the time we die and our spirit is in heaven, and the third part when our bodies are raised from the dead to be with Jesus forever and ever. And that's going to occur because he will return with the blessing of eternal salvation.
Finally, there's a connection here with the Lord's Supper, because there are some Christians who hold a view essentially of Christ's incarnation and his ascension that they say rules out Christ's presence in the Lord's Supper. What would you teach the Sunday school kids about how Jesus can be at the right hand of the Father and be bodily present there in the Lord's Supper?
The confusion that has occurred in people not recognizing is thinking that the human nature of Jesus is stuck in heaven and only his divine nature is on earth, which means you're not receiving the true body and blood of Christ. Realistically, it's kind of by faith that you might receive it when you take the Lord's Supper. But we believe, teach, and confess that Christ in his human nature has received all the prerogatives of the divine nature. In other words, in his human nature, Jesus knows all things. He is almighty and he is everywhere. Those three concepts now include not only his divine nature, but also his human nature. And we see that happening with the conversion of St. Paul on the road to Damascus. Jesus appears to him and says, I am the one you are persecuting. And that shows that Jesus in his human nature continues to converse and be with believers in Christ Jesus.
Finally, what's the law and gospel of this lesson?
For some people, when they hear that Jesus has left, they think, oh boy, I'm all alone now. And they don't recognize that it was a cloud that had him disappear. He didn't leave his people, because from the right hand of God, he continues to take care of us. He gives us all kinds of promises that are for us, and therefore we rest securely and peacefully in him, knowing that while things don't seem to be working out in our life, through faith we know they are, because Jesus has made those promises. And so we await with patience to see what direction things are going to go, but confident that the promises from Jesus are for our good, and that they are gracious and merciful promises, not on the basis of our works, but on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ.
Pastor Tom Baker hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. For more information on Law and Gospel, visit the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
We're going to be talking about opposing critical race theory in our schools with Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist, when we come back. She says it's not enough just to replace the school board, and it should be an election issue. We'll discuss all that next. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is a new resource for children ages 8 through 11. Luther's Small Catechism for Kids contains colorful icons and illustrations to help guide children through each tenet of the Christian faith. Learn more about Luther's Small Catechism for Kids at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. An easy-to-use resource for teaching the faith in a simple way, Luther's Small Catechism for Kids.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
Sanctifying your commute with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Are you looking for Christ-focused posters to adorn your walls? Ad Crucem has some suggestions. Come see our liturgical calendar, the Lord's Prayer, Martin Luther's morning and evening prayers, the three ecumenical creeds, and our sacristy prayer. We also have an appropriate woodcut of Luther attending to plague victims in Wittenberg and another of him administering the sacraments. Stock up for the new school year. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.